We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Previously on January 6th.
A look back at the top moments of season one, when the former president tried to strangle a Secret Service agent, Josh Hawley scampered away like a frightened squirrel, and of course, the very special episode where the committee got married and had a baby.
President Trump followed the course recommended by an apparently inebriated Rudy Giuliani.
The mayor was definitely intoxicated.
What they were proposing, I thought was nuts.
The claims of fraud were bull.
There was ketchup dripping down the wall.
And then we went for lunch. We went for tacos.
President Trump was yelling and aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence.
It was a different tone than I'd heard him take with the vice president before.
Do you remember what she said her father called him?
The P word.
President reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel.
He's become detached from reality.
Tonight, I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
Oh, what a day it was here today in America. The award-winning limited series, The White POTUS, is back. It felt a lot like Game of Thrones coming back, but instead of dragons grossing people alive, Liz Cheney was doing it. And the hearing began at 1 o'clock Eastern today, like all the soap operas do in the afternoon. Days Off Our Lives is the title of this one. And man, oh man, did the ketchup hit the wall. A lot of the evidence in these hearings came from Trump's inner circle. This is like if OJ had been turned in by his gloves. These are his people. Chairman of the committee started by pointing out that almost all the evidence came from Republicans, not Democrats, and that the people who stopped Trump from trying to steal the election, like Mike Pence and all those who repeatedly told him the election wasn't rigged, are also Republican, or should I say were Republican. Now they're in the Witness Protection Party. But
all this evidence come almost entirely from Republicans. The evidence that has emerged did not come from Democrats or opponents of Donald Trump. Instead, look at who's written and testified and produced evidence. Who has that been? Aides who've worked loyally for Donald Trump for years, Republican state officials and legislators, Republican electors, the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, political professionals who worked at the highest levels of the Trump campaign, Trump appointees who served in the most senior positions in the Justice Department, President Trump's staff and closest advisors in the White House, members of the President Trump's family.
That's right. Even Trump's own family provided damning testimony about the attempted coup. There were text messages from Don Jr. There was video testimony from Ivanka. There was even appearance from that ghost Trump befriended during an audition. An audition for the movie Smile, which neither of them got cast in, because they're just not capable of smiling. The best Jared Kushner is capable of is making a pained sneer like he just smelled one of Trump's KFC farts. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson also mentioned that some of the testimony came from Trump allies who did not necessarily want to testify but ended up complying anyway.
And I want to be clear, not all these witnesses were thrilled to talk to us. Some put up quite a fight, but ultimately, the vast majority cooperated with our investigation.
No, they put up a fight, all right. In fact, Rudy Giuliani even tried swinging a golf club at us, but he got tangled up in his super long khaki golf shorts, so we had to untangle him. But then he got his head stuck in the golf shorts, so we had to bring in the jaws of life to cut him out of the shorts. But then it turned out he had a second pair of even longer shorts under the first pair of shorts, so then at that point, we just let him go home. But thanks to new communications revealed today by the committee, we now have proof that the Secret Service was communicating in real time about whether they could stop Trump from going to the Capitol to lead an armed mob as he attempted to violently overthrow the government.
One of the committee's newly obtained documents shows that sometime between 1:30 and 2 p.m., a senior Secret Service supervisor for protective operations emailed Trump security detail leader Bobby Engel with an urgent update and seeking to know if Trump's plan to go to the Capitol was successfully quashed. It came after a tumultuous hour for the Secret Service detail, which had effectively ignored a command from the president, which was to go down to the insurrection. Even with Trump back at the White House, Secret Service headquarters wanted to be sure the president was staying put.
That's right. The Secret Service ignored a command from the president to go to the Capitol to lead the armed mob. And then they communicated back and forth about whether Trump's plan had been successfully quashed. I really wish we could see all those specific text messages. Is POTUS back at the White House? No, he's currently fleeing motorcade on foot. Did you shoot him with trank dart? Yes. Made him sleepy, but also angrier. He is now stuck in tree. Did you activate emergency protocol Alpha? Is Alpha the one where we try to lure him down with a Big Mac? Affirmative. Yeah. So we activated emergency protocol Alpha. It made him sleepier, but also hungrier. He's now eating second Big Mac.
California Representative Jazoe Lofgren made it clear just how prepared the former president was to lie about the election results.
A few days before the election, Mr. Trump also consulted with one of his outside advisors, inside activist Tom Fitton, about the strategy for election night. The select committee got this pre-prepared statement from the National Archives. As you can see, the draft statement, which was sent on October 31st, declares, "We had an election today, and I won."
They were already planning to lie about the election results as early as October 31st. That's the spookiest Halloween ever. Trick or treason, it's a boo d'etat. Now, to drive home the premeditated nature of this, Lofgren played a tape of White House advisor Steve Bannon explaining the president's strategy before the election, in fact, also on Halloween.
And what Trump's going to do is just declare victory, right? He's going to declare victory.
Also, if Trump is losing by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be even crazier. No, because he's going to sit right there and say they stole it. I'm directing the attorney general to shut down all ballot places in all 50 states. It's going to be no. He's not going out easy. If Biden's winning, Trump is going to do some crazy.
Usually when you hear someone lay out an evil plan that baldly, James Bond is strapped to a table with a laser pointed at his balls. The select committee also played some of the footage from a documentary crew that was following Roger Stone.
I really do suspect it would still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. F*** you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong. F*** you.
Actually, Roger, Biden won. F*** you. Sorry, over. We won. You're wrong. F*** you. If it wasn't clear enough that the president's supporters were responsible for the violence, they said it, point blank, like the leader of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio.
Tarrio, along with other Proud Boys, has been charged with multiple crimes concerning the attack on January 6th, including seditious conspiracy. During the attack, Tarrio sent a message to other Proud Boys claiming, "We did that."
Okay. Not the best idea to claim credit for violent sedition while it's happening. But to be fair, they're not called the smart boys. The committee made clear that the ex-president was well aware that he had lost. Cassidy Hutchinson put it in plain terms.
He had said something to the effect of, I don't want people to know we lost, Mark. This is embarrassing.
No, losing isn't embarrassing. You know what's embarrassing? That you were ever our president, you traitorous dingleberry. Now, great image. It's nice, it paints a picture. Oh, my God. The committee recounted that the ex-president lost 61 court cases where he tried and failed to prove there was voter fraud, then showed testimony from former White House figures saying he should have respected those rulings, including his daughter Ivanka, who, I will remind you, was a White House staffer. Never forget how crazy that place was. Jim?
Ivanka, do you believe the president's obligated to abide by the rulings of the courts? I do.
Ouch. Not the I do he was hoping for from Ivanka. Now, remember, the ex-president and his allies' continuing excuse, the thing they've said a million times, that this wasn't planned. It was just a spontaneous outburst of coordinated violence. Well, check out this text from an organizer of the January 6th riot.
We obtained a text message that one rally organizer sent on January 4th. In part, it reads that, quote, POTUS is going to have us march there, / the Capitol, and POTUS is going to just call for it unexpectedly.
Did you notice that? Unexpectedly? Buddy, the quotes don't make it less illegal. I'd like to see this guy get pulled over. Officer, I'm not drunk. I am heavily inebriated because my wife took the children and the house because of my serious drinking problem. Committee had all sorts of new damning details. Congressman Adam Schiff showed Secret Service messages demonstrating that agents were aware of armed supporters of the ex-president gathering outside the metal detectors.
By 9:09 that morning, the Secret Service could also see that many rally-goers were assembled outside the security perimeter. One agent emailed, possibly because they have stuff that couldn't come through, would probably be an issue with this crowd. Just a thought.
Okay. But if it's an imminent threat, why are you putting it in an email? To a White House mail list, subject line, no biggie. Hey, y'all, just want to ping you, Ray, outbreak of civil war. Let's pencil a meeting on the calendar. No worries, if not, thanks, gotta go, being trampled. Now, the White House knew just how bad this was gonna get. In the lead up, advisor Jason Miller emailed the former president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, a link to a page that was blatantly planning violence.
The linked webpage had comments about the joint session of Congress on January 6th. Take a look at some of those comments. Gallows don't require electricity. If the filthy commie maggots try to push their fraud through, there will be hell to pay.
Okay, that is terrifying. But we do have a new nickname for the former president. Hell to pay.
I also think one of the most notable revelations from the hearing today was the fact that Trump actually admitted privately to several of his aides that he knew he lost and decided to lie to his supporters and the country anyway in order to orchestrate his violent coup.
At times, President Trump acknowledged the reality of his loss. Although he publicly claimed that he had won the election, privately, he admitted that Joe Biden would take over as president. Here's a few examples of that.
So we're in the Oval and there's a discussion going on. And the president says, I think it could have been Pompeo, but he says words to the effect of, yeah, we lost, we need to let that issue go to the next guy, meaning President Biden.
I remember maybe a week after the election was called, I popped into the Oval just to like give the president the headlines and see how he was doing. And he was looking at the TV and he said, can you believe I lost to this effing guy?
Mark raised it with me on the 18th. And so following that conversation where the motorcade ride driving back to the White House, and I had said, like, does the president really think that he lost?
And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll tell me that he lost, but he wants to keep fighting it. And he thinks that there might be enough to overturn the election, but, you know, he pretty much has acknowledged that he's lost.
That's right. Trump admitted multiple times in private that he had lost. And even said at one point to Biden, can you believe I lost to this guy? So Trump knew he lost. He concocted an elaborate lie to save himself from embarrassment. In fact, he said as much when the Supreme Court rejected his last-ditch attempt to overturn the results. Private Secret Service messages and testimony from former Trump aide Cassidy Hutchinson revealed that Trump was embarrassed he lost and wanted to cover it up.
On December 11th, Trump's allies lost a lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court that he regarded as his last chance at success in the courts. A newly obtained Secret Service message from that day shows how angry President Trump was about the outcome. Quote, just FYI, POTUS is pissed. Breaking news, Supreme Court denied his lawsuit. He is livid now. Cassidy Hutchinson, an aide to Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, was present for that conversation and described it in this way.
The president's just raging about the decision and how it's wrong and why didn't we make more calls and, you know, just his typical anger outburst at this decision. And the president said, he had said something to the effect of, I don't want people to know we lost, Mark. This is embarrassing. Figure it out. We need to figure it out. I don't want people to know that we lost.
First of all, I like that even the Secret Service was saying, yikes, this dude is pissed. Do you think the Secret Service is completely silent with no personality whatsoever? But it turns out they're actually huge gossips.
Oh, my God. Did you hear Donald Trump totally chewed out Rudy at the meeting today? He also came up with a new nickname for Mike Pence. He called him Mike
USA! What we are being told very directly is it's going to take days for the Capitol to be okay again. We've gotten a very bad report about the condition of the House floor with defecation and all that kind of thing as well.
I just got off with the vice president. He had the impression from Mitch that Mitch wants to get everybody back to do it there.
Yes.
I said, well, we're getting a counterpoint that is, it could take time to clean up the poo-poo that they're making all over the, literally and figuratively, in the Capitol.
Yep, you heard that right. It turns out right-wing Jamiroquai was or as Nancy Pelosi put it, poo-pooing all over the Capitol. And you know, when I was watching this happen, I thought to myself, it's so interesting how people like Tucker Carlson were calling black people animals when the George Floyd protests were happening. But when these people were literally in the Capitol, Fox was like, these brave patriots are just expressing their frustration and standing up for American democracy. Huh? They're not the animals?
Case against Trump is about as obvious as an episode of Scooby-Doo. And yet, there are still those who believe all these lifelong Republicans who work for Donald Trump who every day suddenly made this all up. I mean, it's either they all got together and made it up, or he did it. Those are your only two choices. And here's the thing. If being an American means accepting and abiding by our Constitution, and after hearing all this, you still think what Donald Trump was okay, then I guess you're not an American. I think that makes you an illegal, and we know how you feel about those. So to all of those, I mean, I guess pack your stuff and make an orderly departure from the country. And this is something, with all this going on, this is the email the Trump people sent to his supporters last night with the subject, did you hear? Donald Trump is ranked number one presidential golfer in history by a landslide. By a landslide. First of all, no one heard that, okay? And secondly, if it was, this is like flunking out of school but bragging about how good you are at recess. But you know the old saying, when the facts are on your side, pound the facts. When the law's on your side, pound the law. And when you have neither of them, pound 11 Diet Cokes and start an insurrection.
Of course, since it's their 10th hearing, the committee finally filled out the punch card. Let's see here. There you go. Ooh, that means the former president gets a free sub. Peanut. Because, spoiler alert, in a shocking twist ending, the January 6th panel voted to subpoena the former president. And to make sure the former president reads the subpoena, it's being printed on the wrapper of a Gordita Supreme. Yes. Yes.
It's efficient. It's efficient.
Supreme. Supreme, of course, that's a subpoena with a dollop of sour cream on top.
So this afternoon, I am offering this resolution that the committee direct the chairman to issue a subpoena for relevant documents and testimony under oath from Donald John Trump.
So it'll be fascinating to see what happens with the Trump subpoena, but it was definitely necessary because, as we've said many times before, the reason why it's so important to investigate the last coup attempt is because the next one's already underway. In fact, Trump still reminisces publicly about January 6th as if it was a good thing. Over the weekend, he campaigned in Nevada alongside the GOP candidates for Senate and the governor there, who, it should be noted, both eagerly accepted his endorsement and who were actively touting their support for Trump. And during that rally, Trump compared the size of the crowd at the event to the one that stormed the Capitol on January 6th.
Nobody ever had crowds like we've had. In the history of our country, nobody's ever had crowds. Do you know the biggest crowd I've ever seen? January 6th. And you never hear that. It was the biggest. And they were there. They were there largely to protest a corrupt and rigged and stolen election. It's the biggest crowd, and you never hear that. And you see very few pictures of it, but they're there. That was the biggest crowd I believe I've ever spoken to.
There's never been better proof that Trump isn't watching the January 6th hearings than him saying you see very few pictures of it. Dude, they're showing pictures of it all the time. Also, I know I'm just a talk show host, but can I enter that last video clip of Trump as a piece of evidence? Because I'm pretty sure what we just saw there, that's confession. Trump's out there on camera in front of a microphone bragging about the size of the crowd at an attempted violent coup for which he is under multiple criminal investigations currently. This is like if during his trial, OJ was also doing ads for a leather apparel company with the slogan, "When I do a hit, I like to wear gloves that fit." It's like that. That is what it is like. So that's why it's crucial to investigate what happened on January 6th and hold the people responsible accountable.
We've received new witness testimony, including about efforts to obstruct our investigation and conceal key facts. And according to public reporting, the Department of Justice has been very active in pursuing many of the issues identified in our prior hearings. Our committee may ultimately decide to make a series of criminal referrals to the Department of Justice.
You might end up making criminal referrals. What else has to happen to make a criminal referral? I mean, if only we had Donald Trump on video inciting a riot or, I don't know, bragging about the size of the violent crowd he whipped up to storm the Capitol and overthrow democracy. Today's hearing provided yet more evidence that Trump knew he lost and concocted an elaborate lie to stay in power. He orchestrated a violent coup. And if we don't hold him and his cronies accountable for this one, he's just going to do it again because, as today's hearings prove, Donald Trump is one
very sick individual.
Meanwhile, Blobby Jones has got many other investigations to worry about right now. The Supreme Court today rejected his Trump's request to intervene in his dispute with the Department of Justice over the classified documents he absconded to Mar-a-Lago with. The court denied Trump's request by a unanimous vote, and a new story from the Washington Post says Trump was more directly involved with these boxes than we knew. After Trump got the subpoena to hand over the records, he personally ordered one of his employees to move the documents in the boxes from the storage room at Mar-a-Lago to his private residence at Mar-a-Lago. Remember how he's ranting and raving about the agents searching Barron's bedroom and going through Melania's closet? That's because he put the documents there. The employee originally denied moving the boxes, but then changed his story after the Fed showed him security video of it happening. So then he admitted Trump told him to do it. Trump got caught by his own security. It is astounding how dumb this. He's such a bad criminal.
Who else gets caught committing crimes with their own security cameras? Who are you? How are you real? This guy's there like, hurry, move those classified documents so I can illegally hide them from the FBI. But first, let's all wave at that blinking red light and tell it our names. Donald J. Trump, the J stands for genius.
If Donald Trump wasn't born rich, he'd be one of those bank robbers who passes the teller a note with his name signed at the bottom. The video and the confession are major pieces of evidence that mean I think they almost have to indict him. It's crazy. Of all of Donald Trump's many victims, who in a million years would have thought the National Archives would bring it. Mr. Forbes magazine foiled by a bunch of librarians. It's beautiful. Right now, he's got the FBI boxes thing. He's got January 6th. He's got a rape case against him. He's got the attorney general in New York. He's got the criminal interference in the election investigation in Georgia. But when will this man stop this insanity and leave us alone?
Never. Never.
Never. Never, never.
Never, 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 never.
Ever, ever, ever,
ever, ever, ever.
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 Ever, ever.
Ever, ever, ever. Ever is a long time.
Thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du and The Clash. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Stephen Colbert, Liz Cheney, Eric Hirschman, Bill Barr, Cassidy Hutchinson, Nick Quested, Ivana Drumpf, Jimmy Kimmel, Benny Thompson, Seth Meyers, Donald Drumpf, Nicole Wallace, Zoe Lofgren, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, Adam Schiff, Adam Kinzinger, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Trevor Noah.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.